I want to share a little piece of scripture with you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to read about three or four verses, but I'm only going to concentrate on the last part of the verse, the last verse. And it's really just kind of the benediction to Paul's letters to the Corinthians or to the church. And it was just kind of as he was closing out some parting words that I ran across a little something. It's just been stuck in my heart for the last couple of weeks, and the Lord just kept putting and doing things in my heart and spoke something to my heart I want to share with you tonight. But we'll start with verse 11, because that's really where the kind of the benediction starts. And like I said, I'm not really concerned with the couple verses here till we get to the end. But just to read the whole benediction, we'll read it. Of course, it's good to read this, because this is church people's favorite part of any message. Finally. When the preacher says fine, except here at Walton, because finally means absolutely nothing. I mean, it means totally nothing. Hey, finally. That means he's thinking about it. But Paul says finally. And of course he's done a lot of teaching in the first and second Corinthians, there's a lot of teaching, but finally he tells them, brethren, farewell. He tells them this: be perfect. We talked a little bit about that last week, didn't we? Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Ain't there some good knowledge in these scriptures right here? Live in peace. And look, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Ain't that the truth? When you try to live and you try to live like that, the God of love and peace, he's with us, ain't he? Verse 12, greet one another with a holy kiss. I know that's not culturally relevant in our day, but it's talking about being loving. All the saints salute you. And then here it is. I want you to catch this. Listen to what he says here. Now, don't, a lot of times, and I've been very apt to do this, where I just kind of pass off something like this, or the end of a chapter or the end of a book as just a goodbye. But it's God's word. It's Holy Ghost fueled, inspired for our learning still yet. And there's something that just jumps out right here. I want you to see it here in just a second. It says, listen to what he says. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And, of course, he says amen. Let's pray over this tonight. Ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, I do. I love you tonight, and I thank you for your sweetness. I thank you for the sweetness that I feel now. I just sense there's an anointing and a spirit here tonight that you can do a great work in tonight, dear God. And we just open our hearts. We're open to it. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be directed and to be used and to share your word for encouragement, to share your word for whatever it is, point, way you want to use it tonight, dear God. All of you and none of us and none of me, dear God. We love you tonight, Lord. Add the anointing now to your word and encourage faith. Stir up hearts tonight, dear God. And may you get your work done in this place tonight in every heart. Encourage someone tonight, dear God. Encourage someone tonight. We love you and we praise you. In the name of our great Lord and our Savior, our coming King, Jesus Christ. All church agree and say, I want to always give him the praise, always the honor, always the glory. He's always worthy of it all. I thank him for this night. I thank him for the scriptures. Even though it's just a benediction, I thank him for these scriptures. You can be seated tonight. I want to go back to verse 14 now, right where we're at. And I want to read that verse one more time as he was finishing up. And he says this once again, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And what really got a hold to me was I thought on that and I studied on that, and this has been a week or so ago, and it got hung into my heart. There's a great value to this verse. There's a great value that Scripture puts on. There's an association with now. Recognizably, we recognize really quick in this. I think we all recognize the Trinity here. We all can recognize that there is the value that comes with the certain aspects that he's bringing out as far as like the grace. How many know there is such a value? How many know tonight that probably if you wanted to sum up something, Paul is summing it up. He's breaking it down. This is the end of it. It's kind of like maybe what you do or you do as a parent or you do as or you somebody else will do or at your job. Their last instructions, if you will, or your dad or whoever tells you. Now make sure, and then they sum it all up in a kind of a couple, three sentences. You know, make sure this, and this. And this kind of way I see. It's what I see in this. Paul brings it in, and he brings in the supreme principle here, the value of grace. I mean, the value of Jesus Christ's grace. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't survive. We wouldn't have made it. We know we couldn't have lived by the law. We know we'd have never made it. And then, of course, the love of God, the love of the Father, if he had not so loved us that he gave his only son. You know, you see the value in those two initial things. And the reason that's important to me is, and maybe I would have missed it or not seen the value, but I see the value of what's coming next by what it's mentioned with. And Paul brings out, he says this, and your relationship with the Spirit, the communion of the Holy Ghost. I want you to get that. I want you to see that. Don't miss that. The same value that Paul puts in the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, which is, I mean, them's rubies in the Christian faith. Diamonds. The pinnacle. The same breath, the same value just by association, I feel like. He brings in the third part of the Trinity, and he talks about our relationship with the Spirit being that important, being as important. Your relationship with the Spirit in Paul's mind is just as important as the grace of Jesus, the love of the Father. Your relationship with the Spirit of God is that important. Amen. David would go through that. Remember, he says, I think I'll run through a troop and jump a wall. That's what David said. I know what he feels like. Amen. But there's this supreme value that's put on just by the fact that they're mentioned together. And that left me to thinking. And I gotta kind of hurry along here. But that left me to thinking. You know, I thought about... Think about this. Who tonight would you say, and of course I've done let it out of the bag some way, but who would you say was Jesus Christ's best friend when he was on earth? His best friend. You know, I know people want to think of fleshly things and fleshly people, but I'm going to tell you who his best friend was. It's the Spirit of God. It was the fellowship he had with the Spirit. In earthly form, his best friend was the Spirit of God. Everywhere, every part of his life, it was about his relationship with the Spirit. I just want to tell you something tonight. I believe this verse. I believe this benediction. I believe your best. I believe you should work on your relationship with your best friend, because that needs to be our best friend. The Spirit of God, that needs to be our best friend. Now, I've got some great friends. I've got some great friends in here. I mean, dear friends. That ride and die with me. I know they would. Amen. Or I think they would. I'm going to say they will anyway. feel that way with them. But I know who our best friend ought to be. This fellowship, this relationship. You know, when Christ came to earth, a lot of times our mind, it's hard to get our mind focused, hard to get our mind oriented to who he really was, because I know he was fully God. But when he came to earth, the Bible tells us he emptied himself of that nature. Philippians 2, it tells us very plainly. I'll read about three or four verses out of Philippians. And this is just kind of the verse 1, and then we'll jump to verse 5. But it says, therefore, if there are any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any, here's that fellowship of the Spirit. Go to verse 5 now. He says, if there's any of that, let this mind, that the same mind that Jesus was in Jesus Christ, the same thoughts, the same thinking, let the mind of Christ, if you want that same fellowship with the Spirit, this is the mind you got to have. This is what Jesus did in verse 6. Who being the form of God, he was, thought it not robbery. He didn't think he was getting cheated. Not a bit, not to be equal with God, but made himself, and this is a hard word in the King James, it says made himself of no reputation, but really it means he emptied himself. He poured himself out. Everything that he was, he poured out all that he was as the Son of God, and became, here we come, took on the form of a servant, made in the likeness of a man. That's who he became. And then, of course, that's who he was. That's what he took on. And this is how come I realized then, I see why the Spirit became his best friend. And why it was such an important part of his life, and the Spirit was always there. Jesus' time on earth, his best friend was the Spirit. Always, always. In conception, remember when Mary said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said, behold, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall conceive this child. It was the Spirit. Even in conception, remember when Jesus walked into John the Baptist's big meeting and he was baptizing people left and right, and people were repenting, for the kingdom was at hand, and Jesus, of course, bid him to be baptized. You remember all the details of that, and right in the middle of his baptism, right when John put Jesus under the water, because he was in the likeness of a man, brung him from the water. Remember, It's good for us to fulfill all righteousness, remember? Put him in, brought him up, and the Spirit of God as a dove descended upon him, and the heavens opened up. And, of course, the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. It was the Spirit with him. It was his best friend as a child. The only really chronological, only history we have of Jesus, even as a child, is in Luke. In Luke, when, I think chapter 2, verse 40, where Jesus, the Bible just tells us simply that he grew in the Spirit. As a 12-year-old, the Spirit was still with him. And he grew. He grew in the Spirit. We know that he grew in favor with God and even with man. But he kept growing, the Spirit with him. Come on up to the time, and he began to that place in Matthew 4 and in Luke as well, where the Bible says that the Spirit began then to lead him and led him into the time of what we know as the temptation. Him and the Spirit, best friends. Best friends from birth, best friends. Led of the Spirit into the wilderness, the Bible says, to be tempted of the devil. And of course we know how the temptation went. Best friends. And coming from then the wilderness, out of the great temptation, marched, according to Luke 4, into the synagogue in Nazareth, straight out of the wilderness, and began to minister with the Spirit of God upon him. He even declared, he said, the anointing, I have been anointed for this. He began ministry because of the Spirit. Because as a man, now anointed in the form, we know according to John, that Jesus had the Spirit without measure because they were such best friends. No measure. Full. Because he was his best friend. I'm going somewhere tonight. I'm heading. Let me just tell you where I'm heading. I'm heading for us towards us developing a relationship with our best friend. That's where I'm heading. We needed to continue to, if he was Jesus' best friend, I know for sure he needs to be my best friend. But that wasn't all. Jesus wasn't done there. And then everything that he went about, I think I give you this scripture, Acts 10 and 38, I believe, I give it to you, how God anointed Jesus. What? Of Nazareth. What? The Holy Ghost and with power. And it was because of that he was able to go around doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him through that. His best friend. He went about doing good. I know a lot of people get hung up about maybe the Spirit, you know, we get too emotional, but Jesus was stirred by the same thing. He had the same emotions, the same passions, and there's several places in Scripture where you can see God, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him, and he was stirred to some emotional response or expression. And there's one in particular right here that I'll show you in Luke 10. And in that hour, of course, it was after the hour of everything that God had been doing through the disciples. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. His best friend. You can have some good laughs with your best friend. You can have some passionate moments with your best friend. Life is good with your best friend. You can cry, laugh, whatever's the need be. Amen. But he rejoiced. The passion, the enjoyment. Best friend. Stirred. His best friend would stir him to the emotions and passions of whatever was going on. And then even all the way to his death. All the way to his death. I don't know if you've ever caught this, but in Hebrews 9:14, his best friend was still there. Listen, how much it was talking about the sacrifice and what it gained us. How much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself. It was through the Spirit that he was able to even make this life-giving sacrifice for all of mankind. The journey with the cross, the journey to the cross, the journey on the cross, the 6 hours, was his best friend was right there. A lot of them fled that day, but I'll tell you one that didn't. Amen. He was still there. A lot of them ran and hid that day. Amen. I tell you, when it gets lonely, it's good to have a friend like what I've been reading out of the pages of this book. Amen. Because there's some days that all will forsake. Amen. But he was with him. And, of course, you know the scriptures. I've preached on this scripture many, many times in this church house. Even in resurrection. His best friend went on to the tomb with him. His best friend in Romans 8 and 11, I just talked about it here a few weeks ago, Romans 8, that same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the grave, from death, if that dwells in you, if you've got that best friend, woo! Hey! He's best friend. All the way. And this is a cool thing. Go ahead and put me John 16 and 7 up there. This is a cool thing. It was so important. This is why Jesus, I understand this scripture better now after studying this than ever. Nevertheless, he tells them, it's expedient, Jesus said. I need to go away. Because if I go away, your best friend's coming. He's coming. hey, I need to go away so that the Comforter, so he will come. And if he come, if I depart, he's coming. He knowed the expediency. He knowed how much I must. And that's the heart of it tonight. And it's out of that relationship. It's out of that relationship that the fruits, you know, we talk about a lot of things. You know, a lot of times people get hung up on the various gifts and what all of the Spirit, and I love the gifts. But you know what I've learned? God gives the gifts. I want you to realize that. God, I want you to think about this. God gives the gifts. Why? Because he loves us. He does. And he loves those. He gifts you a lot of times that you can help her or him or build up, the Bible says, the whole church or everyone. I, you know, a lot of times, I know as a young Christian, I used to see somebody operate in a gift and I thought, dear God, they love God. And I'm not saying they didn't, but I had it a little bit wrong. I used to think, no, what I should have said is, dear God, God loves this church. That's what I should have said. I used to think just because someone was gifted or operated in a gift, that, man, they loved God. But that wasn't always the case. I'm not saying they didn't, but that's just not always the case. What it was God so loved them. Now, there's something a little different on the other hand that makes these fruits a little different. The Galatian fruits of chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Now, when someone starts exhibiting them, that's the proof that they love God. When you start seeing, go ahead and give me Galatians 5. Let's read them right quick. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When you start seeing love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, and meekness and temperance, self-control. When you start seeing all that going on in somebody, you can say, my God, they love God. Because this is what happens when there's a true relationship. I'm just gonna go on and bear it out. There ain't no little bitty kids or nothing in here hardly, but I'm just gonna go on and bear it out. This is the fruits of a relationship. When there's a true relationship, there's fruit. Absolutely. There should be. When there's intimacy, there's fruit. When you love God, your best friend, when you love the Spirit, your best friend, there's fruit. Just cause, now, I'm tickled to death with all the gifts that the church operates in, and I'm glad God still loves us, and he still gifts us. I am. I'm tickled to, and we're going to need more of it. We're going to need more loving on us, God, because this world is tough. But I tell you what, the fruit comes when the people come in relationship with God and they start bringing forth this stuff right here. Amen. Amen. So, as we close tonight, not really, not quite, but I'm heading that way. I'm not quite ready to say finally, but I'm heading that way. But with all that in our mind, this is what came on my heart about how to continue to develop this relationship with the Spirit. Have you ever even dwelt on that? Have you even ever thought about that? I know you might even think, you know, well, we need not dwell on that so much because it's about Christ. Well, I'm just going to tell you something. When you dwell on the Spirit, you're going to be dwelling on Christ because the Spirit came to dwell on Christ. The Spirit is Christocentric. The Spirit is Christ-centered. If you dwell on the Spirit, he's going to magnify Christ every step of the way. He's going to glorify Christ. Unless you get into some perverted doctrine, you're not ever going to get away from Christ dwelling on God's Spirit. You'll never get away from Christ walking with the best friend that Jesus wanted you to walk with. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to, as we finish our time tonight, I want to talk about developing this relationship with our best friend. And there's just a few little things I want, and there could be many things, but these are just a few little things that I thought about. I know if you're going to develop a relationship with the Spirit of God tonight, it's going to take integrity or character or shall I say being up front. That's big for, how many know that's big for a relationship? I don't care, even if it's with man. But especially with the Spirit of God. It's going to take integrity. It's going to take honesty. Being truthful about who you are, where you're at. It's a must for the relationship with Christ, with the Spirit of Christ. It's a must. That's why Scripture tells us even many places about confessing our faults, confessing our sin. Be real. Man, being real is the best thing going to develop in this, because he already knows anyway. He's just waiting on you to come around. That's why it's so powerful to be able to go to the Spirit of the Lord or to God or to Christ and tell him, man, be honest and be upfront. You know what severs the relationship? When we continuously lie or are deceptive or ignore it or tone it down. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they died for that. Would you call that severing a relationship? Acts 5 and 3, the Bible says, because you lied to the Holy Ghost, they died. So being upfront, being truthful, being honest, that's what it's about. There's a little scripture I found in Proverbs 24, 26 that really sums it up. Proverbs 24 and 26, did I give you that, KK? Yeah. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth. All right, we're talking about this relationship now. Yeah. Talking about innocence. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth. And that word right is true. It's honest. Answer. In the Hebrew, it's talking about you want intimacy. In the Hebrew, it's talking about, man, speak truth. Speak with integrity. You want intimacy with God? God's not looking for no French kiss. He's looking for a Hebrew kiss. Amen. A little something for you. The Hebrew, it's truth. It's truth. I don't know where that stuff comes from. I've gotten a little better with age, but not much. But it fits really good because integrity builds intimacy. Am I right? Does integrity build intimacy? Integrity builds intimacy with your best friend. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be best friends with somebody who's always deceiving me, always lying to me. I can't tell what's going on. I got to kind of guess. I got to kind of wonder. I got to read between the lines. There's no intimacy there. It's not my best friend. My best friend tells me 2:00. My best friend will be there at 10:00. I mean, what was that? I'll still be waiting. That's right, because I'll be there at 1:30. But it's intimacy. Intimacy comes out of this integrity. How about this one? This is a big one. Especially in your relationship with the Spirit of God. Here it is. It's big. Openness. In a relationship with the Spirit of God, you must be open. What I mean by open? Open to His commands. Open to His directives. Open to His direction. Open to His leading. Open to His convictions. Open to what He's wanting to do. How many know that is the relationship with the Spirit of God? You got to be open to what He wants in your life, what He's trying to do at that moment, what He's speaking through the Word, what He's speaking through the preacher, what He's speaking through the worship, what He's speaking through your life over and over again as you open your Bible on Tuesday morning and pull it open. And what He's speaking, if you're not open, relationship ended. Relationship dead end. And I've learned this. You just well be open, because The next time, when you build up enough, whatever, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to go back again. You know what you're going to hear? The same thing you heard last time. That is the truth. And all the gray-haired believers in this house said, amen. God's had to tell me 40 times sometimes on some things because I wasn't open. Openness to what he's trying to say. It's a relationship builder. Scripture brings out a group of people in Acts 7:51 who were not. This is what they were. They were stiff-necked. How many knows that means they were stubborn? They were stubborn, and they had uncircumcised ears. Their ears had done growed over. They do always listen. Resist the Holy Ghost. No relationship. No relationship. It's about being open. It's about being eager to obey. I'm going to tell you what. If you're eager to obey tonight, you got you a good relationship going on. Amen. I hear crickets, Jesus. Amen. Here's what that looks like in Scripture about being open. Acts 10:19. This is Peter. While Peter thought, God gave him something to think on. Did God ever give you anything to think on? He gives me stuff to think on all the time. Some of y'all is thinking right now, when did he go say finally? In a few minutes. He gave him think on it. And the Spirit said, here comes the Spirit now. This is, by the way, that's where it all works. When God gives you something to think on and you're thinking on it, here comes the Spirit. Here comes your best friend. Here comes your urger. Your encourager. Urging, poking, prodding. He said, behold, he began to tell him, there's going to be three men looking for you. Verse 20. And rise therefore, he says, and go. When they come, you go. Now, your life might not be exactly like that, but I guarantee you these things going on in your life that God's directing. He says, go. And he says, look here, doubting nothing. I'm going to tell you what, when it's the Holy Ghost, we not need to doubt. Ever. Doubting will lead to stubbornness. Amen. You want to know where stubbornness comes from? It comes from doubting. Because if you didn't really doubt, you wouldn't be so stubborn. Amen. Doubting. For I've sent them. And watch here what Peter did. This is what it looks like. Then Peter went down. He just went down. He went down to the men. Boom. Boom. We ain't got time to go there. But Paul was the same way. Ananias was the same way. Remember Ananias right after Paul got saved? Ananias, God come to him and told Ananias, he said, you go to a man called Saul, who's going to be Paul, and you go down to that straight street, and you go visit him, for I have appointed him. I have anointed him. He's going to do a great work for the kingdom. And Ananias said, do you know who he is, Lord? Even when you got better judgment, you think. How many of y'all ever thought you had the better judgment? You thought you had the better way. You remind God, have you thought about all this? Yeah. I know God sent me into things like that numerous times, and I'll look and I'll pull an Ananias. I say, have you really thought about this, God? Of course, God said, yeah, you go. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Ananias went. That's the relationship. That's what makes the relationship. It's about being open. I got to get where I'm going because we're about out of time. Another one. This is all just Lee Sarver stuff. This is all life. This is all experience. This is all out of the Bible, though. Another one, though, is being considerate. I know if you go build a relationship with the Holy Ghost, you got to be considerate. What are you talking about, being considerate? Well, you got to be considerate of who you're with. It involves being considerate. His values, his interest, what he prefers. Every part of my life. You believe that? I know when I was in the market for a good wife. Been a while since I've been in the market, Dean. But when I was in the market for a good wife, I looked for one who kind of tended to my values, my preferences, what I wanted. If I'm going to build a relationship, I want somebody who was a little considerate of what, you know, what I wanted. I didn't know she's going to lie about half of them, but. Woman act like she liked racing. Come down, listen to that stuff on the radio with me, sit there and stare at me. I thought we was enjoying the race. Got married and she ain't been to one since. I hate racing. Too late, I done married her now. But it's true, ain't it? Because it will sever the relationship. Now, the one thing I know is this. Man, you got to be considerate of the Holy Ghost. There's scripture in Ephesians 4 and verse 30 talks about, what does it say? Grieving the Holy Ghost. There's a few scriptures around that. Ephesians 4 and 26, it starts like this. Ephesians 4 and 20 says, be angry and sin not. How come? Because these are things that are not of his values. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27, give no place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, and he may give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, and the use of the edifying, that it may minister even grace unto the hearers. Why? So that you grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed even unto the day of redemption. And go on to verse 31. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you, all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted. See what he prefers. His values. Does that make any sense? Relationship builder with the Spirit. With the Spirit of God. You gotta be considerate of what he prefers. I'm just gonna hit this one so I can get to the last one so we can close. So I can say finally. I'm itching to say finally. Not really. I'm never itching to say finally. But let me throw this one in there. If you're gonna develop a relationship with your best friend, with the Spirit of God, it takes the commitment, don't it? Commitment. And when I say commitment, I'm talking about as he commits. How many know that God, that the Spirit of God commits to us? You realize that? He does. When we first come to him, Ephesians 1:14 says that. He says that he gives us the earnest of the Spirit. There's this commitment. You know what that really is? That's like a taste. It's like a foretaste. I still remember the taste. He's still doing it. He's still doing it. He commits to us sometimes taste of his sweet Spirit. Taste, blessing. We used to call them blessings. Got me a blessing. Woo! Do you see Sister So-and-so? Got her a blessing. Woo! Remember? That's a taste. That's God's Spirit committing to us. That's what it is. And you know what that demands? That demands a response. You want to build a relationship? How did this go for you when you used to date and she'd look at you, all you men, and she'd say, I love you. How'd that work out for you? When you went silent or lied. Oh, baby, you know I do. was a relationship killer, wasn't it? About 2 days later, you know what she'd tell you? We're just going to be friends. That's the kiss of death, ain't it? That's that. We're not even going to be friends. This is, I'm just brushing you off right here. No, no. Commitment. When she says, I love you, it demands a response. Same as when the Holy Ghost comes and tells us he loves us. Sheds the love of God all through our heart, through the blessing. Good. It demands a recommitment back. A response back. That's how we build the relationship. That's a part of building it. Amen. Last one. I got to close. Let's go take reverence and respect. Respect and reverence. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Man, we're talking about, why is it going to take reverence and respect? We're talking about the Spirit of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit of God. It's not flipping. It's not culturally the joke. No, no. It's the Spirit of Almighty God. And you got to have that heart or that mentality or the relationship is going to end. It's the Spirit of God. And you got to carry that. You got to carry. It's the divine nature coming upon us as human beings. There's got to be a reverent gratitude out of that. A reverent gratefulness. A reverent thankfulness. A worship. A praise. Now, don't that keep the relationship alive? It's hard to parallel some of these things with our human relationships because most human relationships don't respect each other either. So it's hard even to do that nowadays. And how many know that when you don't respect each other in even natural relationships, it don't last long, does it? And you're not thankful. When a husband ain't thankful no longer for his wife, it ain't long, is it? But there has to be this value. I value this relationship. Amen. All right, I'm gonna close. Finally, y'all, I'm gonna go to John 14. I just want to read this as we close tonight. Paul, you can even come on. This is what Jesus says. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, a helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, listen, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither does it know him, but you know him. It's just because you know why? It's relationship. You know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you. Just like he was with Jesus, best friend. From conception to ascension. Best friends. You know him because he dwells with you and he shall be in you. Best friend. He's in you. That's why I posted the other day a little thing on there. I'm all the time thinking, saying stuff, going to say something, about to say something, thinking on things, and the Holy Ghost just interrupt me and jump in. I talk to myself out loud. I was doing it the other day. Granny come in and said, Lee, who are you talking to? Either myself or the Lord. I don't know. Take your pick. It don't matter. That's true. One or the other. Sometimes I'm talking to myself, and sometimes the Lord jumps in. He jumps in with truth. Because he's in me. He can inject right into my thoughts. That's my best friend. That's how it is sometimes when I don't even know how to pray, when I'm hurt so bad. He'll jump in with some groans that can't even be explained or uttered. Just groans. My best friend, he suffers with me. He shares in my suffering. He helps me express myself. My Lord. Finally, last verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not. Listen to what he says here. I will come to you. You see it? Do you see it? Your best friend's Jesus. Spirit of God is Jesus. I will come to you. Oh, sweet Jesus. I'll not leave you. I will come. Maybe you didn't know you were supposed to have that kind of relationship. You're supposed to have that kind of relationship. That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. If it's not that kind of relationship, it's not the relationship where you can have intimacy and that the fruits can come to life.